Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is November 3rd, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotoVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use or by visiting MotoVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. So I want to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country? Or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have or anything we can help with? Anybody have anything? I will say I know that there's a couple of you on the road this morning. I'm getting a little bit of background noise. So maybe I could ask you guys to mute just while you are not speaking. Feel free to unmute yourselves if you want to jump in. I'd love that. So anybody have anything, though? Anybody have any questions or comments or thoughts this week? If not, we can jump right into our topic. So let's do that. Let's have a conversation. So this is something that probably plagues us, all of us. I think we've all run across this somewhere along the line. Now, I know that there are a couple managers listening in on this call and owners and managers, and so I think it's going to be interesting to hear. I welcome your input and take on this conversation, but I want to start the conversation from a subordinate or salesperson or a not somebody in a management position. I want to start it from that direction and kind of have that approach first. So the question is, you're out in the field, you're talking to somebody, you've got a good prospect, you finally reach somebody you've been trying to reach, whatever it is. And they say to you, no, I don't think I want to do business with your company. I called them, and this person was very rude to me. They were very nasty. Or maybe you have done business with them, and you get that phone call that says, somebody in the office was just nasty to me, very rude to me, very nasty. Now, we talk a lot about, and we have talked about, although it's been a while, you know, what to do when you get those nasty customers, the ones that are nasty to us. But it's true that sometimes we run across a customer who's had a bad experience with our company, you know, with the company that we work with. Somebody that they said, that person, maybe it was the person who answered the phone. Maybe it was an installer. Maybe it was your manager. Okay, and that's kind of a different approach. But I wanted to start the conversation off by asking, first off, tell me about something that's happened. And I really don't want to get into the weeds of a specific company or incident. I want to talk about, in general, how we should handle these types of events. Okay, so first off, has that ever happened to you guys? And if so, what did you do? How do you handle it?
Hey, it's Daryl. This is the first time I think I've been on this call, but I've known Kelly for a while, I guess, or at least a year. I always see the topics, and this one's kind of, I'm in Long Island, New York, and I think that this this one kind of struck a chord with me in the sense that I experience this every day. I mean, what I find is, it doesn't really need to be specific because it's always generally the same situation. You have a customer that's unhappy, and they want X, they want A, and you can't give them A, or it's not in your control to give them A, and they don't want B, and that's all you can do. So essentially, it kind of spirals out into, well, you know, they're the customer, they're always right, and they have to be, given whatever they want. And I think at the end of the day, the main problem that we have is everyone now has a voice. the internet's given everybody the option to say something, whether it's true or not. So, if, you know, my company, we take our reviews very seriously. We address every single one. And, you know, if you go online, you'll see that there's mostly really good reviews. But once in a while, you get just an unhappy customer. Even if you give them what they want, they'll still go on. And they have you kind of, you know, in a tight spot, because what do you do? Do you lose money just to make them happy? As far as being rude or not being rude, a lot of it stems from, you know, we're all human also. Everyone has a bad day, but ultimately you're in the service business and you have to, you know, I guess do the best you can, but ultimately sometimes it gets away from you. Sometimes you just, I had someone yesterday, in fact, a person claimed they were uninstalling a system in one house, reinstalling it in another house. Like, you know, why anyone would do that's beyond me, but she was paying us to do that. She's been going on, and she's a difficult customer to begin with. She's rescheduled this 3 times. So I have a crew going to her house and to do the initial, you know, uninstall. So I have a crew that's tied up all day. It's one of my main installation crews. So they get to the house like, no, we called yesterday and canceled. And they never called.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that kind of escalated into, well, you're calling me a liar. And, you know, it's like, well.
So I think that you bring up a really good point, Daryl, and one of the tips that I wanted to take out of this. So let's start with that one. And I think the point that the bigger point that I get out of what you're saying there is we need to, when we run across that customer that claims that, you know, I work at Daryl's company, and I run across this company that says, I talked to that guy Daryl over there, and he was just rude to me. He was just nasty and rude and mean. And I know Daryl. I've worked with Daryl. I know that Daryl is fair. I know that he is going to, you know, in general, I've not had that experience with Daryl. So the first thing that I need to do is recognize that there's probably a lot more to the story than that Daryl was just nasty and rude to me. And so what I am going to do when I'm running across that customer, because, you know, I mean, let's look at it, for, you know, realistically here, the customer is still talking to me. Right. So let's assume that somewhere along the line, you know, if the customer was just totally done with me, then they probably wouldn't be talking to me. You know, so there's more to it there. So I'm going to put on my empathy hat and I'm going to say, wow, that I can understand how that would probably bother you. If it's okay with you, I'm going to look into it. I'm going to look deeper into it. Now, the first place I'm going to go is to Daryl. I'm going to call Daryl and say, what the heck happened with, you know, with this customer? And Daryl's going to tell me basically what he just said, what he just told me. And I'm going to recognize that, yes, wow, customers are valuable. And I see, it's not true. I mean, everybody says it and they say, but it's not true that the customer's always right. And I'll tell you what, in my company or a company that I have the ability to have some influence over, I'm gonna demand that my team speaks respectfully and politely to the customers. But I'm also going to demand that they are respectful and polite to my team. There is no job, no amount of money that you get paid that makes it okay for a customer to call and scream at you and to do. We're not a not-for-profit, and the situation that you just described, Daryl, I think is very, I think it's a very good one, because that does happen, and a lot of times those customers feel like we were rude to them because they didn't get their way. Now, that being said, there's I have said, and I worked with a client there on Long Island, as you know, Daryl, for a long time, and there were many times that I would say, look, you're talking to the guy right now that can help you, okay? But you're not going to be if you can't be nice. You know, I'm not going to scream at you. I'm not going to cuss at you. I'm not going to holler at you. But I expect the same respect. And, you know, and you sometimes do have to be, I guess, direct, you know, but hopefully we can avoid that reaction where we, you know, we end up screaming at them or cussing at them. But there are times that we have to fire our customer, right? There are times when we have to say, look, it doesn't sound like I'm going to be the one that's going to be able to help you. All right. Now, when that happens, somewhere along the line, somebody else in your team is going to run across that person, and they're going to say, they didn't want my business at all. They were rude to me. They hung up on me. They, you know, and I think that's when you have to recognize that there are multiple sides to the story. So Daryl, thank you for that. I think that's a really good point. So what about those times? Has anybody run into that time where you have been in the field and you know, maybe you have just a rude or nasty, I mean, there's all kinds of situations this could happen, right? Those of you that are in sales, you run out there and you're in the, you know, they say, well, I called your office and the secretary was just nasty to me. They were just rude. Has anybody happened? Or maybe, you know, that your installer was the rudest guy I've ever talked to. He was just so mean. What do you do? How do you handle it? Tell me what you guys do.
One, apologize. And typically it's more like, oh, I am so sorry to hear that. I am sorry you had to go through that. That is just really unusual. Something must have happened. I will check on that for you.
Yeah.
I
agree, Stacy, that, you know, that's where the empathy thing comes from. And I think that's exactly right. Sometimes I don't know that I always start with an apology anymore. That's kind of the instinct for us to do, is to say, you know, I'm sorry. But sometimes, like in the case that Daryl was talking about there, you know, I don't know if an apology is warranted. So I think if there's a way that you can express empathy without admitting wrongdoing, because sometimes, like the situation Daryl was describing, Daryl wasn't wrong by any means.
Exactly.
You know, do you know what I mean? So, go ahead.
You have to disarm them.
Yeah.
Remember, I'm sitting there trying to make money off these people.
Yeah, right. Right. So your situation is, this was a follow-up or it was a service call. And, you know, describe more of the situation. You know, at what stage in the process are you there where they've had somebody rude in the company?
I've had it when, so people will think it's rude that they can't. I had a lady last night that said, well, you must just be really, really busy because it took a week and a half for you to get out here. Well,
yeah.
I don't know why the office booked her when they did, other than the fact that she needs an evening. And, you know, evenings do book up quickly, but, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Yes, and she was fine after that. I said, evenings do tend to go quickly. I said, my daytimes are more open.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, through, and then moved on from it.
Yeah.
But so a lot of times I'm either sitting there in the appointment, even though they were upset, they still booked the appointment.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's telling too, right?
Exactly.
You know, that they recognize that they're still there. And when somebody says, wow, it took me 2 weeks to get an appointment, my thought on that is sometimes that happens. And I love the way you said it. Yes, I'm, you know, my evenings book up solid. That's basically where it is. My evenings are, you know, you can turn that around and legitimately show that we're in demand. Yeah, it's crazy right now. We are busier than we've ever been right now. Daytimes are a little easier in the future. If you need me to swing out, I can, you know, it's easier for me to do daytime, but my evenings are pretty much solid. And that shows demand and goes along, you know, in the basic sales philosophy, you know, of the herd theory, right, where people want to, that actually can help add credibility. If it can sometimes hurt you when you are immediately, so when you, can you come out? Well, I can come out this afternoon or this evening if you want. Wow, you must not be very busy if you're able to drop what you're doing and be there tonight, you know. But it's showing empathy I think is the, yeah, I know. So one of the things when you get that rude person, when they talk to you, that they've talked to somebody else, that I also would suggest doing is to say something like, wow, it sounds like you've had a bad experience so far with the company. I'm really glad that I'm the one talking to you now. Let me see if I can help you. You know, I'm glad that we were able to connect, you know, and you get on the team without throwing your team. And this is the biggest thing that I want to leave you guys with as we go through this today and continue to have the conversation, because there's a lot of instances where this happens, but we want to be able to show empathy without throwing our team under the bus. And I think that that's the most critical thing, right? Is to not throw our team members under the bus, to still show empathy, but we are a team, and you know, we're going to support our family. Sometimes we have that brother that says and does things that I'm like, you just shake your head and go, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. Right. But you go talk to your brother away from, you know, the people, but you still got your brother's back. Right. Now, if it continues to be a problem, that's when if your brother's out there ruining your business, you know, or your team members out there, you know, costing you sales, ruining your business, then you got to make some demands internally for sure. What else? What else? What other circumstances do we have there?
Go ahead. Kelly, I've run into, and I mean, this has been dating back to when I was in tool and die, and you know, before the water industry. And I've also been in offices where I've had somebody that, you know, I hear them on the phone talking to a customer and I'm just blown away with, they are rude. And it wasn't, maybe the customer was not necessarily getting demanding, but just kind of like, hey, why isn't the tech here that, you know, was supposed to be here between 9 and 10 and now it's 11, you know, just questioning. And, you know, the response has been rude and nasty, and I would have been upset if I was on the other end of the phone. And I'm the type of person that I will say something to them like, hey, do you need a hug, you know, or something,
kind of as
a joke, you know, but hey. And then I have been known to say, you know, do you need a little bit of a break, you know, that I don't know that customer needed to hear, you know, think about if you were in their situation, how would you feel? And it's just,
somebody,
you know,
do you need a timeout?
Do you need a timeout? Literally, because, but you know, I'll say something like that. But if it's, I've also run into the situations where it is all the time, and I've seen the Google reviews, I'll go to a manager or the owner and say, you know what, do we need to have a class that talks about how to respond or something to that effect? Because, you know, you don't want the bad Google reviews.
It goes to Daryl's point that everybody has companies walk in, you know, kind of live in fear of that bad review. And we've talked about that. You know, Daryl mentioned that at the beginning of the call here, that, you know, we always have in the back of our mind that customer is, you know, could go in there and do that, you know, and throw that review on. And to that, I'm sorry, Jen, to interrupt, but to that point, that's why it's so critical that there's somebody in your company that monitors those reviews. Because I don't know about you guys. I know, Jen, you and I have had this conversation before, but I am suspicious sometimes of those companies that have a lot of reviews that are all 5-star. I'm suspicious of them. The fact is, I've dealt enough with different people and different types of personalities that you can't please everybody. And there's going to be a couple of those customers that are pissed off, you know, that are upset. What I look for, you're right, is the consistency in that, you know, and what if there's 10 people that are saying the same thing. Daryl was a jerk when I talked to him. Not you, Daryl. I know I'm just throwing your name out there because you brought it up. Daryl's not a jerk, everybody. I've known him for a long time. He's a good guy. But if I see that over and over and over, that might be an indication that I might want to deal with somebody other than Daryl, right? On the other hand, if I see one person, if I see five, reviews or 10 reviews out there that talk about that sing Daryl's praises, and one or two that say that Daryl was a jerk, I'm number one looking at the response, okay, and does the company in their response blame it all on the customer, or do they go in and talk about how they tried to help? All the things that you described in your first scenario there, Daryl, not to say we understand that it can be frustrating trying to arrange schedules. We tried to accommodate your schedule the multiple times that you canceled or rescheduled day of. Sometimes we're not able to do that, to show what you did to try and satisfy that customer. If I'm reading the reviews, I understand then what happened. So it's really critical that we have somebody monitoring the reviews and that our responses, you're not responding actually to that person who wrote that review, really. I mean, that's the thing to remember when you're writing those responses, the review responses. You're not responding to the person that wrote the review. You're writing a response that everybody else is going to read. You're probably not going to make that person feel warm and fuzzy. It's probably too late for that.
That's true.
You're
right. You're never going to get, you're never going to really get the person to see it your way, because they're only going to want to see it there. They took the time to, the only time it really bothers me is when people don't tell the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know what they're saying didn't happen. That's not what happened. You're upset because you wanted to pay $3,000. And the system you want is $5,000.
Correct.
You know what I mean? That's where those things always stem from. And we have you go to someone's house, you install the system, they tell you they're going to pay by check. You install the system, they come down, look at the system, they say, you know what? You guys weren't here that long. I'll give you a last.
Yeah, you know. Daryl, for some of us in the Midwest, you hear that type of stuff happening. I can tell you, for those of you that are in the Midwest or in other areas, what Daryl's describing is commonplace in his neck of the woods. Holy moly. I worked with a client out there for 3 years, and I could not believe how often that type of thing happened. And it was the first couple times I saw it, I'm like, the gall. I seriously can't believe that people are saying that, that they're doing that, which is why a lot of those companies have to have the policy that you pay up front. You pay the job, and people, I'm not doing it until the job's done. Okay, then we're not doing the job. There are lots of other choices.
The thing is why do you want the money before the job is done? What are you trying to pull? You know what I mean? They make it, they deflect it onto you. And it's and again, the other thing is most of the people and the business itself is good. It's the outliers. Mm-hmm. You have 10 installs a week and one of them this happens to. Or you install the system and the next day they're like, I don't like it.
So real quick, in the last 5 minutes that we have here, does anybody have a specific policy in place in the company? Or is this something that you deal with on a case-by-case basis? Is there anybody that has, an actual policy and procedure on what you do when you run across that situation? This is a situation where I know it. Sometimes it stems from that customer who's dissatisfied, like Daryl's talking about there. But this is a situation, what do you do when you run into that situation where that person in the office is just kind of, or that, that installer that you do hear it out there. And Stacy, your case, it's impacting your sales, right? It's having, can cost you. Those of us that have been in sales a long time have probably run across a situation where we have lost the sale. We made the sale, but during the process, the customer was upset and they canceled it. They canceled the sale because they liked us. I'll refer for you, but I'm never doing business with your company. Okay, how many times have we heard that, right? Is there a policy in place for handling that? Do you guys have a policy, or do you just sort of take it as you go?
This is Elaine. Because we are contracted with Costco, they really are our customer,
sure.
customer. So very often somebody say, "Well, I'm just going to call Costco and ask for a refund," right?
Yeah. I'd love to talk to you aside about that because I'm a Costco vendor as well. And
that's right. You both are the same. You guys are the same same manufacturer, Elaine and Daryl, both of you. Yeah.
It's like I have siblings. It's like when my little brother would run and tell my mother that, you know, I'm picking on him and I'd get in trouble and
yeah.
I haven't even been in his room. It's exactly what happened.
So Costco's philosophy is they call it MEGA, make it go away.
Yep,
and
exactly.
depending on how much the customer spends there, they can say, you know, give them their money back or heck, no, it's not happening, right? So
yeah.
First and foremost, I have to know who my real customer is because that's a
yeah.
huge source of business for us. But I also tell my staff, you can't be in an argument with someone who agrees with you. So right off the bat, we don't debate. You know, if somebody says, I'm
yeah.
not happy with A, with me, or C, our first response is, I'm sorry you feel that way. We're not saying it's right,
yeah.
but that's how they feel.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you say, what can we do, you know, to for you to feel good about this? You know, what can we do
yeah.
to help you to make this experience better? So, you know, we try really hard, I mean, up to and including replacing equipment, which is, you know, fortunately not that common, but that people are headset, you know, that our equipment is defective. It doesn't work, right? So we will, as part of our, you know, crust of excellence, that if for any reason, you know, they don't think it's working, we'll have to swap it out. So, you know, Costco is very consumer-oriented, and so we have to be very careful up front. I mean, we do a lot of hand-holding from the initial, you know, sale to follow up after the sale to calling after the install to find out immediately if there's any concerns. You know, I have a person
mm-hmm.
who's just dedicated to calling and saying, how was your experience? How was Dale?
Yeah.
How was Zoe? You know, so we try to preempt it by getting yeses up front.
Right.
So.
Sure. It's great.
Now, do you have
yeah.
them, you call if they, on every appointment or only on installations?
We call on every appointment, even a demo. We have a script. You know, were we on time? Were we professional? Did we do the water test? Did you become a member of the Costco water treatment program? Are you part of our family? Oh, no. Oh, so, you know, we just, yeah, and so we'll find out if it's too much or you know, not the timing
yeah.
or whatever the issue is. But, yeah, we call on every demo and every service call. So
yeah.
I have a dedicated person that does
Critical.
That.
Guys, it sounds like we could have continued this conversation for much, much longer. I mean, there's, and given the amount of people that hopped on, it looks like this is a kind of a, you know, an interesting topic. I hope that you guys pulled a couple things out of it during this conversation. I'd love to hear from you on your thoughts as we finish up. So please shoot an email over to us at, you know, info@motorvitality.com. And love to hear from you. So yeah, please.
Sorry, can I? I got booted off at the beginning, so I didn't get to do my hey, I have something to say. but I want to extend. This is probably the Motive Vitality birthday week. Michelle's birthday is November 4th. Mine is November 5th, and Kelly's is November 7th. So happy birthday to all of us at Motive Vitality. And if you know of anybody
yeah.
with the birthday of November 6th, then we might be able to find a spot for them, you know, to hire them. Just so we have
everybody bring them in,
all
exactly.
One. Yeah, exactly. So anyways, I wanted to say happy birthday to Michelle and Kelly.
Well, thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Jen. Happy birthday to all of us as
Michelle's
well.
Michelle's on. Hi.
Yes, hi.
All right. So thanks, everybody. Thank
Happy
you,
Jen. Birthday, guys.
Much appreciated.
Thanks.
Thank you. So thanks, everybody. We will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.
Take care.